Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 20. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Verses 9 says, "And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn weapons and shields and bucklers. They shall burn them 7 years." So right away, you know, this battle cannot be the final battle because they're not going to be burning weapons of war after the final battle. Because there's a new heaven and a new earth. We're not going to be here 7 years after that. So all I'm saying is, if you parse this and you begin to look at the nuances. In fact, verse 12 says, "In 7 months shall the house of Israel be cleaning up the bones." Verse 17 says that he's going to make a great sacrifice to all of these feathered fowl, and they're going to eat the flesh and drink the blood. So there's a cleanup crew in chapter 39. That's what I believe is Armageddon. Chapter 38 is that final battle. Why is that significant? Well, because there's a final battle here in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. Let's go back there. Verse 8 says, "The devil is going to be loosed out of his prison, and he's going to go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog." So it's not a localized, it's not just Russia, it's everybody who's on the wrong side of things at the end of the millennium. Then it says, "And they're going to gather them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." So there's going to be a multitude of people after a 1,000-year reign of Jesus and all these celestial righteous people and souls that are going to be there, and they're going to turn their backs on God. Think how insolent that sounds. And yet right now we're getting more light than ever before about globalism, about an antichrist potentially, about all of the things that we've been told had to happen, a mark where you couldn't buy or sell without a mark. We're being told so many things that are coming into place, and all of our toys have been stripped out of our hands. We don't have time for them. You don't even want to watch the Olympics because these people are bowing their knee and turning their back on the flag and they're out there representing our country. You don't even want to watch that. You can't watch sports anymore. You got all the nonsense that's going on, and God is like winnowing us. He's saying, "Where are you going to land? Are you going to follow me? Are you going to jump into the family? I mean, this is not for nothing down here. I'm doing this. I could stop it now, but I'm not. Why? Because I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. Would you just come across the line so we can say goodbye, okay? Whoever you may be in my hearing of my voice, please, just come across the line. I'm ready to go home, okay? God is waiting on you. He's winnowing us. He's saying, this is real. The governments of the world have got all kinds of designs on things. They're all in sync one with another. America is not unique like it was just 2 years ago. It's getting to be a little bit weird out there on many levels." Bible says in verse 9, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth." This is Magog and Gog. This is that multitude. It says, "And they compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city." It doesn't say Magog is coming against the Antichrist. That's Armageddon. He's coming against the campment of the people of God. And they're living in tents and unwalled cities. And that's the kind of world they're in. It says this. It says, "Compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down." That's what he said would happen back in chapter 38 of Ezekiel. "From God out of heaven and devoured them." Done. Mic drop over. There's no battle. There's no couple of hits. There's nothing. There's fire. They're not melting like Zechariah chapter 14. These people are being devoured by fire right now. Done. And the Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are." You see, that's called a prophetic present. They're there, okay? He's telling them that's where they are. If you're up here looking at the timeline of human history, he says, they're in it, okay? Beast and the false prophet are in the flames. And the Bible says where they are. And it says, "And the devil will be tormented day and night forever." There's those words again. We saw them earlier. Remember that? Remember chapter 14? The Bible says the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be," this is the person who takes the mark, "will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment shall ascend up forever and ever." If that wasn't clear enough, it says, "And they shall have no rest day or night." They're not annihilated. They're tormented forever and ever. "And they have no rest day or night, which worship the beast in his image, and whosoever received the mark of his name." This is not something God takes lightly, because you want to know why? It's because these people know that's the mark of the beast. Do you hear people talking about that in your secular world? Well, it sounds like that thing, that mark of beast, I've heard about that. People know. When the rapture happens, they're going to know more. By the time 7 years of tribulation comes, they're going to know full on. And he says, anybody who takes that mark, damned forever, without excuse. They're going to do this with their eyes in their head. They're doing it on purpose and they're doing it intentionally. And God says that makes them as bad as they can be. That's why it's designated as people who took the mark of the beast getting the full mixture. And I'll tell you why that's important here in a minute. You see, this last generation is going to be uniquely culpable and without excuse. Others who are judged at the great white throne that's coming up, they're going to be judged according to their works. Watch what happens. After the devil's being tormented, his torment starts in 10. Verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the entire earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." What just happened was God just folded up the heaven and the earth, and he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible actually says that in chapter 21. Verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because the first heaven and the first earth passed away. It passed away in verse 11 of chapter 20. So they fled away. They're not there anymore. There's a great white throne. And the Bible says in verse 12 that the dead were raised, small and great, and they stood before God. Books were opened in another book, which is the book of life. And the nations were judged out of them. Why were their books there? Because it says in verse 12 that they were judged according to their works. It says in verse 13, they were judged every man according to their works. People say, my good will outweigh my bad. I'm afraid your theology is a little messed up. You can't have one iota of bad. One iota put them out of the garden. They took one piece of fruit from one tree, and they were out of fellowship and out of the manifest presence of God. And then they began to add insult to injury every day thereafter. All of our sins corrupt us. We're like a glass of cold water God would really love to enjoy, but we have this problem. We've got sewage inside of us. So he can't have anything to do with us. He had to take care of our sin by allowing his son to come and pay the price. And once we trusted Jesus, he placed us in Jesus, and we are now righteous in Jesus. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, the lightning rod. God poured out his wrath on our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Once we get saved, we're in Christ, and we are made righteous. And I say to you that where it says, according to your works, that's all about degrees of damnation. Some people are going to be punished with great stripes, and some are going to be punished with fewer, but it's all going to be torment. It's all going to be bad. And if you remember the rich man in Lazarus in chapter 16 of Luke's gospel, you begin to see him up there saying, I see Abraham and I see Lazarus and I just need a tip of water. And he was worried about his brothers. And what I'm saying to you is that man was a Jew and he had insight, but he was kind of negligent of his poor neighbor out front, Lazarus. He didn't feed him. So he's in hell. He got his comforts in this life, but his damnation was not full yet. He was just in Hades. When he is raised up out of Hades, he will be dealt with handily. Notice this, it says in verse 14, and death and Hades, that's what hell is here, Hades were cast into the lake of fire. And so as you see, this is a second resurrection. That's why it was antithesis of the first resurrection. They're all raised, and they're all standing, and they're all going to give an account. Why do they wait to this point? Why does God wait now? Why didn't he just judge them and deal with them? Because their sin had not fully run its course yet. You see, people who are damned have influenced other people. And every person that they've influenced goes on to influence. And if you've influenced somebody into sin and to be great sinners, I'm a great sinner. Only the good die young. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. I'd rather trust a man who doesn't shout what he's found. You know, by his eyes, he's homeward bound. That's Genesis and Rolling Stones and all of these different ones. I'm telling you, you're going to have to answer for more than you think you are. And all your works, telling your kids that this is the way to do life or that is, it's all very, very precarious because you will answer for every single thing. You will go deeper into hell for the more sins you commit. Who was it that we heard? To put it in a framework, the Bible says that the Antichrist and the false prophet, right? They went directly. They were just wicked on steroids. They're way down there. I think the only person going lower than them is the devil himself. It's what we're being telegraphed in that thought. But what did Jesus say in his incarnation? He said to the Pharisees, you will receive the greater damnation. So there's greater damnation. They were religious leaders. They had insight. They had understanding. They knew who the true God was. And they went after his son. Greater damnation. And the Bible says, death and hell, verse 14, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You may not have realized this, but death is a personified being in the Scriptures. The Bible says the death angel went through and slew the firstborn. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians 15:26. It says, and the last enemy that is to be destroyed is death. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You know why people get all nervous to get down to the end of there, boy? It's kind of scary because you start thinking about everything you ever did. It's all going to come right back. You know, even if you never told anybody, you know. But thanks be unto God, Paul concludes, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be saved by your works. Your works will be that which convicts you because you did good works in your name, thus stealing, commandeering glory from Jesus. It's all about you. You're such a nice person. Rain on that. A nice person who's helping other people think, listen, here's the insidiousness of it. You're going to help other people think they can be good without Jesus too. There's a lie for you. That one's more palatable to the average person than the person who's down in the dirty streets of the world and doing all the wicked stuff that you think of as great sins. The greater sin, as he said to the Pharisees, is to be good and nice and do good things apart from a relationship with Jesus. So you're under a deception if you think you're going to get there and your good's going to outweigh your bad. Because that good has become a tool or a weapon in the arsenal of the enemy to tell people, you don't need God, you don't need Jesus. You don't need to be saved. So I conclude with these thoughts. The Bible tells us very candidly that when you're saved once for all. It says this in Ephesians 2:1. It says, you he has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. The word dead, the second death, why is it a second death? Because the first death is you were separated from God because of your sin. You went on in a condition of alienation from God, enmity against God. Everything you did when you were lost was against God's program. The Bible says again, it says, even when we were dead in sins, he saved us and quickened us together with Christ. You're saved by grace, Paul says. Colossians says, you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your heart, he has quickened you, Colossians. He says he's made you alive, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Death is not the body in the casket. God doesn't even really acknowledge that because saints fall asleep. They just use the different word for the lost. And what you're seeing here is the reality is we're either spiritually dead on this earth, living in a condition of being like zombies. We don't even know we're poking God in the eye every time we move around. We're totally clueless. We're feeding on our children. We're feeding on our friends. We're playing off of each other. Yeah, let's do one more. Yeah, let's do another one. Let's go deeper. Let's do this. Let's do more wickedness. Oh, we had great days in our childhood. Listen, all that stuff, that's going to come back. God didn't forget any of it. You didn't get away with it. You are dead in your sins, and the longer you go in it, you risk being cauterized and having no feeling and having no conscience. And then you're literally already as good as dead. The Bible calls you a dog, a brute beast, without feeling, calluses, you know, seared with a hot iron consciences. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that's what happens when you sin against God. You are separated from God. But if you don't get that figured out, you're going to be suffering the second death, separated for eternity. And I leave it at that. Listen to me. Jesus is the only way. You need to trust Him. And if you've trusted Him, rejoice. Because no matter what's going on down here, this is how it ends. Jesus is coming. We're going to rule and reign with Him. It's going to be a good day. Amen? Let's bow together for a moment. Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.